Randy Bolt has a passion for rocks. Well, not just rocks, but gems and minerals too. He's a historic guide at California's Mining and Mineral Museum in Mariposa. He can tell you about the state's official gemstone.
Which most people have never even heard of. It's actually one of the rarest gems on the face of the earth. It's called Benitoite, named after San Benito Creek.
Or he can tell you about the history of the world-famous nugget from the California Gold Rush that's nearly the size of a basketball.
So our Frico nugget is one of the world's most famous existing gold specimens anywhere, partly because of its quality and beauty and size, but also because it actually survived the 1800s.
Randy knows the state's official gem and mineral collection better than perhaps anyone around. But these days, he and the two other remaining staff members at the museum are spending much of their time packing up the collection, getting ready to put it in storage, off public display for the first time in over 130 years. He says it's a sad time.
It's very hard to do packing, and, you know, it's literally like preparing one of your relatives to be going off to prison or something, you know.
That's because this museum, which is operated by the California Department of Parks and Recreation, is among those expected to close this year, thanks to severe budget cuts at the state level. Funding for the state parks system has dropped by 43% since 2006 and took a $22 million cut this year alone. In all, some 70 parks were expected to close this year, although the majority have reached agreements with nonprofit groups or concessionaires that will keep them open for the time being. But according to curator Darcy Moore, the State Mining and Mineral Museum, which is one of the few state park facilities in Central California, hasn't been so fortunate.
So we sort of made the list of the one of five where there's just no agreement, no concession, no donor.
The other four state parks that don't have a new funding source are Benicia State Recreation Area, Gray Whale Cove State Beach, Providence Mountain State Recreation Area, and Zumdowski State Beach. And just like those other parks, the museum was told its final day would be July 1st, 2012.
Now, unfortunately, it just comes down to, you know, literally dollars and cents. And if we don't have the money to operate the facility, we can't operate it.
But now, 3 weeks into the new fiscal year, the museum is still open, but it hasn't been granted an official reprieve either. So what happened?
When the governor signed the budget, apparently around $10 million was allocated to state parks that we didn't expect to have. But there are kind of contingencies or strings attached to some of those monies. So we were kind of told to hold off on closing until they can kind of figure out how that $10 million would actually break down and actually if it would, in fact, you know, make a difference to the closures ultimately or not.
The future for parks like the Mining and Mineral Museum grew even more uncertain last Friday with the surprise resignation of Parks Director Ruth Coleman after the revelation that the Parks Department had $54 million in two accounts that had gone unreported for over a decade to the State Department of Finance. Some have suggested that this newly identified money might help save parks slated to close, but others, who support Governor Brown's November tax initiative, worry that this possible case of fiscal mismanagement could alienate voters and wind up reducing the chances of the tax bill's passage.
Imagine it is probably adding to the, you know, question of what's the future of parks, you know. So, and it certainly is making things confusing for sure.
California has the largest state park system in the nation, with 278 parks covering over 1.4 million acres of land. Together, they attract around 70 million visitors a year. But the state's chronic budget problems have resulted in reduced hours, closed campgrounds, and deferred maintenance in excess of $1.3 billion. Over the years, there have been a number of efforts by park supporters to try to provide the system with a more stable revenue stream. The most notable came in 2010, when California voters rejected Proposition 21, which would have instituted an $18 vehicle license fee that would have raised $500 million a year to fund the system. Now, with the revelation that millions of dollars have sat unused and apparently unaccounted for, many park supporters are upset. They include Ron Udice, the president of the California Mining and Mineral Museum Association, a nonprofit group that runs the museum's gift shop and provides it with financial support.
I was very disappointed. I expected more from state parks. And, you know, for them, for the last 3 years, telling us they're broke and then all of a sudden there's this money that they have been hiding. It's very disappointing.
Over the past few months, his organization has been working with the Parks Department on a possible solution that would keep the museum open. But according to Udice, the unique nature of the priceless collection made reaching an agreement impossible.
They wanted us to insure their collection, yet we couldn't really put a value on the collection, and it really never went anywhere. We tried negotiating back and forth, but in order for us to insure that collection, it's not even our property. It belongs to the state. It's currently self-insured, and our association in the past has run the Mineral Museum before State Parks took over, but State Parks has really fierce guidelines to follow and just something that I don't think that we're prepared to do.
He says in the big picture, the $80,000 a year that would be needed to keep the museum open at the minimum staffing level is a small amount.
And when you really look at the budget for State Parks, I heard one of the rangers reference it as budget dust. It's like 0.1% of our budget goes to State Parks. And State Parks are our biggest natural resource in California. You know, they vowed to protect this land and all the assets and all the collections, and they're dropping the ball. And it really is a heritage for our kids and grandchildren, and to handle it the way they've been handling is very irresponsible.
And if the museum does close, it's that next generation, California's fourth graders, who travel to the museum to learn about science and California history, who may be the hardest hit.
I think the big loss is going to be to the 10,000 school children that visit the museum every year. They get bussed up from all over the valley. They come up here and they not only see our mineral museum, but they also come up and see our history center. So they can pack in two field trips in one day and make it worthwhile. So, you know, that's going to be the loss is the educational aspect of this.
Right now, the sad task of packing up one of the finest gem and mineral collections in the world continues.
It's a very long process because we have over 14,000 specimens in the collection, and so each specimen has to be, you know, sort of assessed and individually packed. And so we've gotten about two galleries done of the specimens that are in the cabinets. We're leaving the specimens that are on display, you know, until the last, so that if we close, we'll pack those, you know, last. So at least people have something to look at in the interim.
But despite the constant uncertainty and the threat of closure, Randy Bolt remains optimistic.
The state has said we can't afford all the parks. If your local people can support your local park and make up the difference, we'll work with you. So I think that's what the foot dragging on actual closures is about, is to maximize every possible day for local people to rally behind their local parks.
Whether the community comes to the museum's support or additional funding is found from Sacramento, at least for now, the museum remains open. A reminder not only of California's rich gold country history, but also of the state's current financial and governance woes. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Joe Moore.